I declare tonight's meeting open at 5:30 p.m. Thanks to everyone for being here. I welcome the councillors, management and members of the public in attendance to the City of Melbourne. We respectfully acknowledge that we are meeting on the traditional land of the Kulin Nation. This place is now known as Melbourne. Melbourne is one of the great multicultural cities of the world and a significant meeting place. For the Kulin Nation, Melbourne has always been an important meeting place and a location for events for social, educational, sporting and cultural significance. I take this opportunity to notify members of the public that the meeting is being recorded and that the audio will be made available on the City of Melbourne website before the close of business tomorrow. It's a test for us, surely, with our recording. See if we can pick everything up, Joe. As part of Council's desire to improve participation and customer experiences in relation to future Melbourne committee meetings, we will also be doing a test video recording of this meeting tonight. If you intend to address the committee, please be aware that your image, along with any of the audio-visual presentation that you make, will be included in the video footage. This is a test only tonight ahead of our ambition to do live streaming, and it will not be published externally or for any other purpose and will be destroyed once testing is completed. Do you want to come in? Please do. Thank you. Now, the unconfirmed minutes of this meeting will be available from the City of Melbourne's website as soon as practicable. Should you have any queries relating to the conduct of this meeting, the documentation or the submission process, please speak with a member of the Council business team after the meeting. I request at this point that all mobile phones, including mine, be turned to silent for the duration of the meeting. The agenda tonight comprises two reports from management and one item of general business. An apology has been received and is noted from Councillor Rees. I advise members of the committee and the public that where the committee makes a decision on the basis of fewer than six members voting in favour of it, that decision may be referred by a councillor to council for decision. Now, it's time for disclosure of conflicts of interest. If any councillor has either a direct or indirect interest as defined in the Local Government Act 1989 in relation to a matter to be considered by committee, please disclose the type and nature of your interest prior to consideration of the item. So to my colleagues, looking forward to the appropriate disclosures at the time of the consideration of the item. Item three, confirmation of minutes of previous meeting. I call on a councillor to move a resolution adopting the minutes of open meeting number 37 that was held on Tuesday, 3 July 2018, from Councillor Wood, Deputy Lord Mayor, and also from Councillor Riley to second the motion. Thank you. I'm now putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hands if you haven't already. Thank you. It was unanimous, so I declare that motion carried. Thank you. Matters arising from the minutes of a previous meeting. I ask councillors whether there are any matters arising from the minutes of the previous meeting that they would like to raise at this point. Councillors? No. Thank you. Submissions and correspondence. The following submissions have been received in accordance with the Council's Meeting Procedures Code. In relation to Agenda Item 6.1, Planning Application TP 2016-999, 2-14 and 16-22 Gatehouse Drive, Kensington, we've had requests to speak from Claire Zimmick, and Claire, when you do speak, you can tell me how I went with that pronunciation, if you don't mind, and Dylan Brady from Urbis, Jody Jeanette, John Windmar from the Kensington Association, Kel Anderson and Brad Pingle, looking forward to that, and items of correspondence have been received from Kel Anderson and Brad Pingle. Now, I ask at this point members of the public if there is anybody here who wants to address the committee but I didn't read their name in relation to that item. Nope, so we're all good. Just checking, let those people sit down. I advise submitters at this point, just in terms of how we proceed during this meeting, that you will be invited to address the committee at the time the relevant agenda item is considered. You have 3 minutes in which to address the committee, and it's the intention of the committee to adhere to that 3 minutes. And the way that we help you stick to the timeframes is that we use this counter on the wall here. And beeps will sound at the completion of 2 minutes, and then when to let you know you've got 1 minute remaining and that you need to conclude your address before the next beep. Otherwise, I may have to advise you to kindly sit down. So if we can keep to the 3 minutes, that would be fantastic. Thank you. Public questions. In accordance with Council's meeting procedure code, a 15-minute period is provided at the beginning and the end of this meeting, as in every other meeting, for members of the public to ask questions. Questions should not be longer than 90 seconds in duration and should be a question. And I remind members of the public that it's not appropriate to be making submissions during that time. Submitters, as I said earlier, are invited to address the committee at the time the relevant agenda item is considered. So it's now time, with that precursor, for me to ask members of the public whether they have any questions that they would like to ask at this point. Thank you. If you could come to the podium and state your name, that would be fantastic. Your full name, that'd be wonderful.
Good evening. My full name is Rilke Muir, and I'm here tonight on behalf of the Kensington Association. The Kensington Association wants to express to Council its gratitude for the upgrade of what you know as Belair Street Reserve, which we know as Skinny Park. Yeah. And we would like to know if there's yet a date scheduled for its opening, and if there is, if there's any event around that that we could perhaps be involved with.
Fantastic question. Rukwan, thank you very much for coming along tonight to ask that question. Do any members of our team have any information on that? Otherwise, I'll need to take it as a question on notice, and certainly it will help propel our planning around that wonderful event. I'm just looking at our team, and I don't think we do have any other information we can provide you at this point. So in particular, it was a date of opening. It was what might be involved at an opening and whether there's an opportunity for you and the association to be involved.
Yes.
So what we'll do is come back to you, and it's probably helpful if we can get some contact details from you at the end of the evening or before you go to our business team here, and that way we'll be able to get directly back to you.
Thank you, Lord Mayor.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Rickett. And any other questions, I should say, from the public? Mr. Shane Scanlon, if you can take the lectern, please.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. My question is to the CEO. Mr. Rimmer, do you intend to seek a further term, another contract as CEO?
Shane, sorry, before there's an answer on that, I'm going to overrule it at this point, if that's okay, our CEO. Because, Shane, I don't think it's appropriate to ask and discuss personnel matters in this environment, and so it's inappropriate to discuss any personnel's contract of employment in this sort of open environment. And I think, as you know, they're normally considered during closed for the reasons of confidentiality and respect and all the other things that we want to be able to provide as an organisation. And that's why the Local Government Act, my understanding, provides that personnel matters can be considered in that environment, just as an explanation to everybody here. So from that point of view, with all due respect to you and understanding your interest in that matter, I'm actually going to say that we're not going to consider that question tonight. But thank you for being
okay.
Here. Thank you, Shane. Are there any other questions from members of the public? Thank you.
Good evening, Lord Mayor and councillors. My name is Jeff Ross, and I'm interested in better understanding council's plans around managing the issues for the homeless. Lord Mayor, you made some firm comments during the recent election campaign about providing lockers for the homeless. Could you advise where things are at from your perspective in terms of delivering this? And it would also be good to hear from the CEO, Ben Rimmer, to get a perspective from the administration in terms of whether the City of Melbourne can actually provide lockers for the homeless. Thank you.
Excellent, Jeff, and thank you for your question. We might do it twofold. I can give you... do you know what? That's right. What I can do is defer to my councillor colleague, Councillor Beverly Pinder, who is the chair of the relevant portfolio and who's as excited as I am about the developments underway. And then to the extent that we need more detail, we can defer to the CEO. So, Councillor Pinder, please.
Sorry, I missed your first name.
Jeff.
Jeff. Hi, Jeff. Be assured that it's on the agenda firmly. And with Lord Mayor's and my backing particularly, the team is working very, very hard. We've got some interim places that we're exploring, which I don't think we'd like to divulge today, but shortly you will hear about it. But it is on the agenda and very active.
Terrific. Thank you.
CEO, did you want to add any detail to that?
No, Lord Mayor. I think... Councillor Pinder has adequately covered off the issue.
Which is not really giving much detail other than to say we're excited about the progress and it's pending and we look forward to providing an update soon. Yeah.
And yep. Lots of work is underway.
Yep.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Jeff, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions from the public? This is fun because this is the first time this has happened at one of these meetings for me, so where we've had multiple questions from the public. So are there any others? No? Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. We're now up to item 6, which is reports from management, and I'm calling on Councillor Leppert to assume the role of chair of the meeting in relation to the planning portfolio.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. There are two reports from management for consideration in the planning portfolio. The first is agenda item 6.1, planning application TP 2016-999. Which is 2 to 22 Gatehouse Drive, Kensington.
Councillor Wood. I jumped in early there before you'd finished reading out the agenda item. I've got an indirect conflict of interest due to impact on residential amenity under Section 78E, as my principal place of residence is right around the corner, so I'll excuse myself on that basis.
Thank you, Councillor Wood. Kensington is a wonderful place to live. Very inappropriate, Councillor Francis Gilley. Can I call on Jane Birmingham, please, to make a brief presentation on this application and management's response and cover issues of traffic generation as part of that presentation. Thank you.
Lord Mayor and councillors, this is an application for Gatehouse Drive in Kensington. The applicant is Urbis, the architect is Decibel Architecture, and you'll be hearing from both those parties after myself. And the owner is Kensington Gatehouse Development Proprietary Limited. You'd be familiar with the site. It is on the corner of Smithfield Road and Gatehouse Drive in Kensington, adjoining Kensington Banks. We have 4 to 3 to 2-storey residential development to the east. Two-storey commercial development to the south, a major arterial road on Smithfield Road to the north, and the service station and takeaway food premises to the west. At the moment, the site is occupied by a local supermarket, a couple of food and beverage premises, and a shop as well. So you can see the site here gives an indication of the context of the surrounding residential development and the service station along the main road there. The site's actually in a commercial one zone and there are no overlays that apply to the site. The surrounding residential area is in a general residential one zone. This is the ground floor of the proposed development. We can see 600 square metres of retail tenancies replacing what is there now. Some car parking remaining at grade. Access to the basement levels is via Stockman's Way to the rear of the site, and Gatehouse Drive remains the access to the existing car parking. There'll be 110 car spaces in the basement and at ground level, and 57 bike spaces overall. The development's primarily residential. There's 69 dwellings in total. This is level one within the podium. There's 11 one-bedroom apartments, 40 two-bedroom apartments, and 18 three-plus bedroom apartments. This is the typical tower plan that's on the corner of Smithfield and Gatehouse Drive. At level five here, which is the top of the podium, there's a communal open space area for residents of the building as well. Just turning to the elevations, the building was at 9 storeys prior to the amendment of the plans. It's now sitting at 8 storeys with a maximum height to that corner in the order of 28.5 metres. And this podium level is in the order of 4 storeys and a 6-storey component to the rear here. This is the elevation from Smithfield Road, from the rear at Stockman's Way. These are the shadow diagrams at the equinox, which is what the planning scheme requires. They indicate that there would be no additional overshadowing to any private open space as a result of this development. And then just turning to some to some perspectives, this is the view along Gatehouse Drive, looking north towards Smithfield. This is the corner of the building. And that's the end of the presentation. In regards to car parking and traffic movement, I'd just probably refer back to the report where it was noted that both the parking provision and the traffic and parking arrangements and traffic generation in the area are considered to be appropriate by both our traffic engineers and by Vic Roads, who were a formal referral authority for this application. Thank you.
Thank you. We might have some questions from councillors. Councillor Oak.
Just to follow up on the comment about the traffic, and I know it's not explicitly on the site, but it's about the traffic generation and the impact on existing rat runs. Mm-hmm. It's come up before and we've talked about Kensington, but in fact, a recent development. But could you elaborate, because the report only has a couple of lines. It just says the traffic engineer was considered it appropriate. But I don't know what's behind that and how that assessment was made. And as a Kensington resident, I don't go to this area that often, but I know that there is already queues in and out of that development and the rat runs are quite considerable. So this is obviously going to generate a lot more traffic, so I don't understand how that assessment was made.
Well, there's 69 apartments and 110 car spaces. My understanding is that the traffic engineers considered the traffic report provided by the applicant, and in their knowledge of the local streets, their technical advice is that the environmental capacity of those streets in the vicinity of the site can actually cope with this extent of traffic. I can't give you any more than what is in the report, which is based on the formal traffic engineer's comments.
Can I perhaps assist with a follow-on question? Just as the application that we considered 1 or 2 months ago now, the church on the corner of Kensington Road and Epsom Road, and we acknowledge that there might be a role for council in future to continue to survey the traffic in the area. Would that be the same intention here if there does prove to be issues as the objectors have claimed? Thank you.
Look, certainly it would be open to council to consider additional traffic arrangements or reconfigurations if this development did result in some changes to the traffic generation in the area. But the advice of the professional traffic engineers is that the streets within this area can actually accommodate the additional traffic generated by this development.
Thank you. We might pick up the issue later on again. Councillor Francis Gilley.
Thanks, Jane. There's a question just about the amount of parking. There's 1.5 car spaces per flat. Mm-hmm. And yet we know that there's quite a lot of developments in the inner city where there's that level of parking, but they're not required. Mm-hmm. This isn't specifically about this site, but it is generally, what are we doing about, what's our suggestion about car parking as the city with with accommodation this size, this close to the city? So what would we recommend specifically about parking?
Okay. In the case of this particular development, it is probably the parking rate is a little higher than we would ordinarily see. It's at a rate of one space for all the 1 and 2 bedroom apartments, 2 spaces for the 3 bedroom apartments. Unusually in this case is actually residential visitor parking on site, and there's also parking provision for retail visitors and staff of the retail tenancies. Look, this is probably not quite akin to a CBD development. It is more on the fringe, and although there is good public transport in the area, there's probably 3 train stations within reasonable walking distance and a tram route. It is probably a site where it's more likely that people may drive. The bike provision is higher than what's required by the planning scheme at 57 spaces. So we would probably like to see a lesser rate of parking, but this is what the applicant's proposing and it probably relates to their market demand.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions of Jane? Thanks, Jane. We might have some more later on, but for now I will move on and call on Claire, who will tell us how I can pronounce her last name correctly going forward. Thank you, Claire. You have up to 3 minutes.
Very, very close. It was Claire Shimchik. Yep, so I'm from Urbis Planning Consultancy and speaking on behalf of the applicant. So I'd just like to say that we've worked incredibly hard over the past well over a year now with this application to address concerns that have been raised both by councillors and submitters. And would really like to thank the council officers for the opportunity to respond to these concerns and revise the proposal, resulting in a more refined development that we see before us today. So strategically, this site offers a really unique development for urban renewal and to increase densities. It's such a large site area, comprising the amalgamation of about 5 lots, and it's relatively unencumbered by restrictions and controls. It has 3 street frontages, which provide separation to the more sensitive surrounding properties, and it's also situated in an area with excellent provision of existing services and facilities, fabulous provision of open space in the area, and is within walking distance, within 1 kilometre of 3 train stations. So it's a great location for increased densities in line with state and local policy. Now, originally we submitted a more substantial development. We heard council's concerns and the submitter's concerns in relation to this and altered the design in response and really reduced the scale of development. So we reduced the height and increased setbacks. We changed the massing of the proposal and notably moved the car parking out of podium area into basement car parking. So that increased the activation of the podium, with apartments providing passive surveillance down to the streets below. We also improved internal amenity substantially in relation to the better apartments coming in, even though that was not a statutory requirement. So we understand there are still concerns in relation to traffic and car parking, and we're happy to discuss those further. We've had One Mile Grid traffic consultants look at this proposal a number of times and do quite a few assessments, and they're extremely confident, as are council's traffic engineers, that car parking and traffic has been appropriately addressed. So in summary, we've worked incredibly hard to address the council's and submitter's concerns. The proposal has been carefully designed by the architects, who will speak for a few minutes next and explain the design intent. The proposal provides excellent amenity for future occupants, a great apartment mix with a good degree of 3-bedders, I think about 26%, fabulous ESD initiatives, and ultimately we contribute to a positive character and mix in the area. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions of Councillor Oak?
You mentioned the three train stations and that justified the greater density. So why are there so many car parks then? Essentially, you're admitting that people aren't going to be using those train stations.
Yeah, well, we hope. We hope they'll be walking to the train stations. I think, like Jane said before, it's on the fringe and market demand. So to be able to sell apartments, the market demand still relies in this area for that provision of car parking. And so it's a response to make sure we have a feasible development that is appealing to future residents.
Any other questions of Claire Shimchik? Did I get it right?
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, you can take a seat, Claire. Thank you very much. And we'll hear from Dylan Brady, architect for the scheme.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Thank you, councillors. I have been working on this, whilst we might have submitted our town planning application in 2016 and been subsequently working closely with council officers on refinements and refurbishments to it. I actually started working on the project about 2 years prior to that, so it's been a very long-running project for us and the client. And from the very outset, we've looked to try to deliver a product that everybody kept telling us wouldn't be financial and wouldn't make sense. We had Charter Kramer tell us over and over to make them smaller, to make them meaner and to make them more responsive to the kind of outcomes that we're seeing on Elizabeth Street at the moment. And to the client's credit, they refused all of the way through that. We have a proposition here which, we'll put 69 new dwellings into Kensington. We have a provision for car parking which we think reasonably represents the scale and the size of the apartments that we're producing. We have no undersized apartments, and we were excited that the client took on board the idea that we would design to be BADS compliant even though there was no requirement to do so. We, in our practice, work in sustainable design and green design as almost a matter of course. And we've challenged our client and they've responded very well. We have 3.3 metre floor-to-floors, which tends to lend a little bit to the height of the project. That gives us an opportunity for excellent cross-ventilation and daylighting inside our proposal. It also provides opportunities for us to install in the project the leading sustainable design technologies that we want to see in residences in Melbourne. We've tried in the reshaping of the project to push the mass to the main arterial road, and we've relied on the expertise of our traffic engineers, Vic Road, and the council's traffic engineers to make sure that we are compliant with our exits and entrances and that the 345 movements a day can be accommodated within the road system. I would say that we intend to replace and upgrade and create a bit more of a vibrant hub. The existing commercial centre that's there is, I don't think, yet on any heritage registers. And we're hoping to create a much more active edge, a much more convenient edge, and a much more communal spirit around the tenancies and the residents who live in this property. We have an extremely high common space factor for the number of apartments that we have in the project, and we think that this project essentially will create a bit more of a landmark and a destination for Kensington and Kensington dwellers.
Thank you very much, Dylan. Any questions for Mr. Brady? Councillor Francis Gilley.
Hi, thank you. Sorry to go on car parking. I've got responsibility for transport. Of those car parking spaces, how many of them have electric charging?
We have a substantial commitment from the client to solar and green, and there's whilst we haven't actually specified exactly how many have it at this point in time, the opportunity for it to be fitted is definitely a consideration in the project. We also have a number of spaces set aside for car sharing and a go-get provision there, which we've really intended to let this become a bit more of a hub for people who might not be able to have a car in the area and would still like access to a car sharing facility.
Right. That ability to upgrade if we do shift to electric is going to be really important for...
Yeah. And hopefully we'll be generating power from non-coal-based sources when we do make all of our cars electric so that we're not actually using coal-powered cars.
Yeah, that would be very exciting.
Any other questions for Mr. Brady? No. Thank you, Mr. Brady. You can take a seat. And I'll now call on Jodie Jeanette to speak for up to 3 minutes. Thank you, Jodie.
Thank you for your time. Apologies, it's the first meeting I've been to, so I'm not really familiar with the process. So I am greatly affected by this development. I live at 21 Gatehouse, and I would like to refer you to drawing TP-2103 that was part of these meetings papers that shows considerable overshadow of my property. The only natural light that I get is from this source. And the afternoon sun comes through. If you could just flick through, I can do that myself, can I? And you can see through that gap that currently comes through the supermarket and the pizza store that area provides light directly onto my house, and in particular summer, but it is more important over winter. And I currently need to have lights on during the day. I've spent $200,000 renovating the house, moving internal walls to allow more light in, and that is all going to be removed. And it will obviously increase electricity consumption, and I'll have to replace all of the windows, the coverings on my windows at my house, because of the privacy issue and the changes to the sunlight. The proposed 2 hours of sunlight being the only source and having that overhang to the two living areas that I have, I feel is inadequate according to the better apartment standards designs, which requires you to take into consideration the size of the area and the windows that are actually the size of the windows for that property. And I would suggest that certain properties in the development will have more sunlight than I will receive, as most of the ground floors are actually commercial and not residential, as what mine are. And so my question, and I apologise for putting questions in this part and don't necessarily expect it to be answered, right here and now, is there adequate light to my property, in your opinion? I find it interesting that the parking is being considered too much. Sitting from my balcony, I can regularly see that parking is absolutely an issue. Traffic study was done in December during the day and also during summer, and does not reflect the peaks in winter, as it was done in December. Parking travels all the way up to the Crescent on a regular basis. That intersection is going to be horrendous with the increased volume that comes through, and I know because I park opposite that. And also that the vans that we currently have from residents at number one Gatehouse continually moving out because of new tenancies and changes of ownership, it has a high turnover for some reason, constantly has vans that are parking and removalists that are moving right in this intersection. And you're going to put a lot of one-bedroom and two-bedroom apartments, which is going to have a higher turnover, and they're also going to be exacerbating that issue, particularly on a weekend when there are events occurring. So I apologise for not getting to all of my questions, my presentation, but I thank you for your time.
No, thank you, Jodie. Any councillors have questions for Jodie this time? No? I'll ask you to take a seat and we'll go to the next submitter, but thank you very much for your comprehensive submission. Would you like to?
Sorry, I was just a bit quick. I was just wondering whether officers would be able to respond to, especially the question around light and how much light she will expect to receive as a result of this development.
Okay. Councillor Oak, if res code were being applied to this development, which actually only applies to a lower scale building, this development would more than comply with the daylighting requirements. Overshadowing impacts are measured in terms of the impact on private open space. The daylighting test is different. It's about the separation from a building wall to a window. And in the case of a 28.7 metre high wall, you would only need to have a separation of in the order of 14 metres. And the width of Gatehouse Street itself is in the order of 20 metres. So there's about a 23 metre separation between the property and the windows of the dwellings. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. Can I ask John Widmar to make a presentation to the committee? Thank you, John. You have up to 3 minutes.
I thank the opportunity, and I represent the Kensington Association on behalf of some people who could not attend this meeting. My personal views are that I don't care if 100,000 people move to Kensington. I can do as my neighbours have done and move to the Greek islands for 6 months in the year. So my particular views about Kensington are not of any interest, but I do think the Kensington Association does need to be fairly represented at meetings like this, and it's clear that there are ongoing concerns from members of the association who live in this area. It would be fair to say, and I'm sure the past president of the Kensington Association is in the meeting today, could confirm that we rarely get objections from Kensington Banks, because Kensington Banks is the only part of Kensington that was actually planned. I live in an 1880s street where, when I did a little bit of excavation under my house, I found a cow bone, I presume it was a dead cow from a house cow. Kensington's a curious suburb of mixed 1880s and Kensington Banks, 1980s, a wonderfully planned section of Kensington. And I do enjoy, and I invite you all, and in autumn particularly, to walk through what was formerly a sale yard. In fact, when my wife bought the house in Kensington as a student, Kensington was a place where you went to the pub to get your stolen tilly back, and you had to close the windows because of the smell of the 4-and-20 pies and the smell of the cows and the cattle. So it is concerning that this development is continuing to accelerate concern in Kensington Banks, because the building is quite out of character. And if we talk about, if the words have any meaning at all, built form about multi-story buildings, and there's no doubt that there are great cities in the world with multi-story buildings, built form also has to follow some kind of function. And I suspect that if this is voted for and it's accepted and the council approves it, that you're likely to get many more objections from the people who live in Kensington Banks, because that's not what they bought into and that's not the suburb that they thought they were in.
Thank you, John. Any questions for John from councillors at this stage? No, you can take a seat, John. Thank you very much for your submission, and we did receive your full written submission as well, and we have read that. I call on Kel Anderson to make a submission. Thanks, Kel.
Thank you, councillors, for having us here today. My name's Kel Anderson. I live in Kensington Banks. I've lived there for 3.5 years. I've seen the community grow and the area grow itself, with new developments in the area popping up. Unfortunately, this development does not fit the area at all. I'm not against the development, but I have major concerns over some of the aspects that's being shown today. One of them is the building height and size. 8 storeys. Every other building in the area is 4 stories at max. 3 is generally it, or 2 stories. This is grossly out of size for the area. I am concerned, although I don't live on the street of Gatehouse Drive, I live nearby, I am concerned that there is overshadowing. That was skipped over in the slides earlier, in later part of the day. I'm also concerned about privacy issues. The building being 8 stories high, there is lots of small courtyards are in the area with people with backyards. Being 8 stories, I'm sure there's a privacy concern there that should be looked into. Secondly, with 100+ extra car parking spaces becoming available, which I acknowledge the developers have added extra car parking spaces based on community feedback in the past, this is great news. However, the traffic flow in that intersection is appalling. It is the only area to get into the banks from the west side. In the morning and in the afternoons, it is clogged up from the Smith Street all the way back to the Crescent. We're talking probably, I'm thinking, 100-metre stretch of cars for a good half an hour to an hour each day. And as concerned by another resident, parking that is in the area there is at its max on those streets already, and that is a major concern for future usage there. With this apartment building going up, and the development of Hobson Road, this intersection here is going to have a lot more traffic and needs to be addressed by council moving forward. It is also a bit of a concern about there with pedestrians and cyclists in that area, and that should be looked at as well. That's all I've got to say, but thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Kel? No, thank you. Take a seat. Thank you very much. Finally, I call on Brad Pingle to speak for no more than 3 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to me. That was a late request, so thank you for taking that on. I just wanted to be quick. We live just down the road on Stockman's Way, and we bought the property assuming that that development would not go through. We looked at the Melbourne planning scheme, and it did say that there wouldn't be any high-density planning in the Kensington Banks, and this is obviously high-density planning. Down the road, we can see there's no picture of it here, but on page 51 of the application, there's obviously a lot of bulk from the building, and they're planning to remove a mature tree down the road, and which would allow us to see more of the building, which we're not too pleased about, and the current vegetation that's there would not protect any of our views of the building. So we'd like to see if there could be some revegetation in light of removing that tree. That would also protect us from the Shell station. And also, we're just not too pleased that it's just not, as everyone else has said, it's not really consistent with the feel of Kensington Banks that we had expected and would have expected to keep consistent. We understand that planning does need to happen, but we're not assuming that that would happen there. So if you see on page 51, there would be a tree that's removed, a mature tree, and obviously we would see a lot of the building from our residents. We don't think that they can see into our backyard. I'm sure they can see into the backyard of our neighbors, but we could definitely see into that the building, and would just like some extra buffering there. And that was in the back end of that development. They were planning to put in the rubbish and the removals there, and the extra rubbish back there. So we're wondering if something can be done to buffer us from them. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Brett? No. Any final questions for officers before we move on to considering a motion? Councillor Oak.
Sorry, Jane. I know it is dealt with in the report, but it'd be great if you could just re-clarify for me about the density. How is density... No, sorry, this isn't a question for the officer. Sorry. How is density referred to in the planning scheme? Because I also, in reading this, went, I didn't think that we'd earmark this area for greater density, but I'm correct in that, unfortunately, this particular development is on a site without any restrictions on it. Is that...
Councillor, I think what you say is true for the majority of Kensington Banks, which is in the general residential zone. Obviously, it was part of the Kensington Banks Development Master Plan back in the 80s, and that is now a defunct document, and the normal planning controls have returned to that area. I think the difference with this site is its size, its location on a major arterial road, and the fact that it has a commercial zoning. It also doesn't have any direct sensitive interfaces. So if you're looking at this application on its merits, which is what the planning scheme allows you to do, because there are no overlays limiting height, for example, you look to the context and what fits in. There are 3 to 4 storey buildings on the corner, also on the main road, and bookending this site, I suppose, to the west is the 11-storey apartment building that actually looks across the race course. So this scale is not entirely unfamiliar to this area. And I don't think it would necessarily set a precedent for other parts of Kensington Banks or Kensington for those attributes that I've described.
How do we refer to this area in terms of potential future growth? Again, I thought that this site wouldn't have been
It's not a site that's earmarked for any particular level of increased growth, but the planning scheme contemplates that, if appropriate, you could certainly have an intenser development on this site, given its attributes, commercial zone, major road, and commercial one zone.
Thank you very much. Councillor Watts.
Thank you. I'm just responding to the gentleman who was so concerned about the tree removal. It seems I'm looking at page 22 or 29, you've actually given quite a lot of consideration to the trees. And do you have anything to say about that one particular tree that seems to be so very problematic?
I'm assuming, is this a tree within the site or a street tree?
It's under
the street tree. A street tree. My understanding is that this development is not going to actually have an impact on any street trees.
It does state that it would remove the
I'll just have to... 21. Okay. going to have a look for our comments.
There's a picture of a new...
Oh, okay. So at 10.1.2, so the application was referred to our urban forestry team, and they've recommended a number of permit conditions to protect council street tree assets. So if I go to the conditions, we're looking at conditions 10, which is about protecting the street trees during both the construction process and once the development actually is completed as well. Yeah.
So we're confident that the conditions we've put upon this address this gentleman's concerns.
Yes, yes, that's correct.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. Any other questions before we move on to a motion? No? Thank you very much, Jane. I will move the motion in the same form that it's been provided as a recommendation from management, and I call on a councillor to second that motion. Thank you, Lord Mayor. This is an unusual application because, as we've heard from the submitters tonight, this very much is an anomaly within Kensington Banks. It's an area that many of us know very, very well, and it's an area that abuts that very wonderfully master-planned precinct in our municipality, as John Widmer has put it. The prevailing character for Kensington Banks is very clear. It doesn't matter where in Kensington Banks you are, that prevailing character and built form is immediately apparent. The exception is the shopping strip that abuts Smithfield and Gatehouse. Because there are no built form controls, no height controls that automatically go with the commercial zone, this site very much is the anomaly as far as Kensington Banks goes. That's why the application has been assessed on its merits without any overarching or mandatory built form controls. And it's why, very naturally, very understandably, we have people here today saying, why are we approving something, potentially approving something that is so far out of character compared to the rest of Kensington Banks? And let me acknowledge here and now that the building is very, very out of character compared to the rest of Kensington Banks. But our job today is to assess the application against the provisions of the scheme, not make a guess as to what the character should be. Our hands are generally tied in that regard. We do need to consider what controls and policies apply to the site and be fair to all parties in applying them. And I note, of course, that the applicant has spent many years on this application with a particular set of rules and policies in mind, and we have to absolutely respect that as well. So that's the policy background. I do want to thank all of the submitters for putting in very comprehensive submissions. I know we've only seen a small snapshot here. There are actually dozens of submissions. The original plans really spurred on that very large number of submissions, and I'd like to acknowledge the very different set of discussion plans that we're considering tonight and how far they've come from the originally submitted plans. I think that that process has been a very solid improvement. And whilst there's still going to be some unhappiness from some immediate locals to the area, I do want to acknowledge the great improvements to the plans over the last 2 years' evolution with this particular application. I particularly think that the ceiling heights and the new massing strategy where a whole lot of the bulk is put over Smithfield rather than dotted across the site is obviously the sensible thing to do. As I said, there are no height controls in the commercial zone, and there's no other very useful policy in terms of height and density, and so the general policies have been applied as for urban design outside the capital city zone. And as I said, I agree it is out of character. But for all of those reasons, because this is an anomaly site, I also have to emphasise that this doesn't set a new precedent for the area. 98% of Kensington Banks built form is still in the general residential one zone that currently has a mandatory 11 metre height limit or 3 storeys maximum, and so this does not set any sort of precedent. Parking again is and traffic is the issue that I am more concerned about, but I do note that the permit is only required to reduce the amount of parking. If the applicant had provided, I don't have the figures in front of me, but 15 or so more car parks, there'd be no permit trigger for car parking, and we wouldn't be considering car parking at all. Now, in my mind, I think that we might be providing too many car parks because we're inducing a whole lot of traffic in the area. But the only reason we're considering car parking is because a permit's being applied to reduce the number of car parks. So we need to keep that in mind as well. Despite what Urbis has said, I think that this is the part of the municipality, with the possible exception of parts of Parkville Gardens, that is the worst service by public transport of any part of the municipality. My ongoing campaign to move South Kensington Station to the west continues to fail. I'm very sorry about that. Yes, while there are three stations within 1 kilometre's walk, they're all 980 metres walk, according to little Google Maps check I did. So let's acknowledge that the induced traffic conditions that this application will create are very real. And in this instance, we have to take the advice of our internal referrals from our traffic engineers and the assessment of our planning officer. Like other councillors, I would have loved to have seen a bit more detail on that. But as we always do, we've assessed whether or not the traffic and parking conditions are adequate. The response has been that they are. But yes, there's going to be an onus on council in future to ensure that local traffic conditions are monitored very, very closely, and particularly those peak conditions, and we're already at a standstill in much of Kensington Banks, despite putting in so many stops to rat runs. We need to be very vigilant in this area as the population continues to grow. I think I might leave it there because that mostly covers it. The difficulty we've got is the lack of those overarching controls. And without those controls, and considering that parking really isn't the way we'd like to assess it, I think that the way this application's been assessed on its merits certainly is the right one. It opens a question for councillors and the City of Melbourne generally as to whether or not we do have gaps here and there about our controls, because this might not meet community expectations, but this application has been faithfully assessed in accordance with the controls in place at the time that the decision's being made. And in fairness to all parties, I think that it's the correct decision. Particularly in regards to traffic, it's not necessarily the most comfortable decision. But I just close by thanking our officers and the applicant for moving this application to such a great degree already. Lord Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor Leppett, and all your points are well made. So I would just like to again, commend everybody that's made a presentation tonight, because every time you do that, it continues to raise issues that are important to residents, not just within your part of Kensington, but right across the municipality. So it's a great way for us to get that direct feedback on issues that have a common purpose. But I do also note that given the way the planning controls work, as Councillor Leppett has comprehensively discussed, this does seem like a good compromise between what is possible on that site and what is hopefully now a compromise in terms of what is acceptable more generally across all of the stakeholders involved, and so reflecting also on the work that's gone into getting to that point is really important, which is a positive way in which the interactions in terms of feedback from residents and other stakeholders have worked to then be introduced into what is this ultimate application for this project. So acknowledging the disappointment and frustration from local residents, but acknowledging that there's been a lot of compromise to get to the point and a lot of hard work to get to this point of something that is not just what is possible but acceptable. So for that reason, I'm also supporting the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Other councillors who wish to contribute to the debate? If not, I'm going to close the debate. Are we sure? Okay, I'm going to close the debate. You'd like to speak, Councillor Oak?
No. I don't really want to.
Councillor Oak.
I do this every time when it comes to these very difficult applications. I should at least explain why I will. I mean, I'll support the recommendation, but I have real concern about the traffic and the increased density. I acknowledge the incredible, you know, the report does have a lot of conditions, and I really acknowledge the hard work that our planning team, our officers have undertaken, obviously over a lot of time. But it is, you know, when I have a concern about a development, unfortunately planning, which is no secret that I hate planning because of these issues, and yet we're put in the situation where we are publicly. but it, you know, we have to follow the rules, and the rules are there, and that's why I was making sure that I have accurately understood the grounds that we could, make a refusal or to reject this application or add an extra condition. And unfortunately, it is within the rules. It does meet the scheme. The conditions, you know, address a lot of the concerns, and the remaining concern around traffic, unfortunately, you know, is something for council to deal with as a consequence. And we can't put another condition on this because that pertains to the development, and traffic then comes into our remit. So like the other Kensington development where traffic and rat runs and current conditions being exacerbated by additional and new traffic flows, we made a commitment to ensure we review it after the development had been built, and that's probably the best that we can do on that issue there. So I agree that the development is potentially out of character, but I think that it is accurate. In I think it was the architect made the comment about the existing building. Don't know what the line was, but yes, it's certainly the proposed development is better than the existing development that is right now, and that is potentially an opportunity to enhance that area and enhance that space by a slightly more beautiful building than the one that is currently there. And absolutely the sustainability elements of the building and the consideration that has gone into not only the greening of the walls but also the green open space should be commended, and as well as the other Green Star elements within the development certainly are a positive, and so we shouldn't detract from that in the comments that I make. But as I said, I reluctantly agree to this, I believe, over development on the site, because there aren't any other grounds that I can add an additional condition to the recommendation in front of us.
Thank you, Councillor Oak. I don't know what you have against Al Capone's pizzeria. Councillor Pindall, would you like to contribute? Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Leppard. Only to say that 18 new families into the area, because there's 18 three-bedders, means children. Increased traffic equals safety. So I think, Councillor Leppard, you proposed that we keep a close eye on the traffic movements. I think that's an imperative here, because potentially there could be some safety issues as well. So I support the recommendations, the officer recommendations, but in my heart I'm kind of feeling like, you know, we need to take care a little bit because there's going to be some concern about young kids.
Thank you, Councillor Pinder. And fortunately, we have our Manager of Engineering Services in the room to listen to our commitment to monitor the traffic. Any other contributions to the debate before the debate is closed? No, let me just very quickly close the debate by acknowledging there's a bit of discomfort about how we're making this decision, and it's entirely due to the way that the controls and policies apply to this particular site as an anomaly within Kensington Banks. I make a commitment to talk to any submitter to explain further and discuss further any issues in relating to this submission, but I acknowledge as well there might be some disappointment. But finally, can I just again thank officers and the applicant for coming such a long way in proposing what is a far superior application to what otherwise might have been. We are committed to integrating this area with our wonderful Kensington community as much as is possible. But I will now close the debate and put the motion to the vote. Can I ask all those in favour to please raise your hands? Thank you. I declare that carried unanimously. We'll now move on to agenda item 6.2. As Councillor Wood came back in. We padded it out for you, Councillor Wood. Agenda item 6.2. In fact, if a few people are going to leave, I might just pause for 30 seconds.
Should I declare a... No.
Agenda item 6.2 is planning application TP 2018 number 351 in Dodds Street, South Bank. Councillor Oak.
I declare a conflict of interest because of conflicting duties. University of Melbourne is my employer and they are a significant party to this.
Or beneficiary, perhaps. Thank you, Councillor Oak. As Councillor Oak leaves the room, can I ask if any councillor would like a presentation on this application? No. I will now move a motion in the same form as the recommendation from management. And thank you, Councillor Wood, Deputy Lord Mayor, for seconding it. The council's aims in this area have been well articulated, well prosecuted in the past. This is one of the arms off our South Bank Boulevard project. This is our wonderful streetscape upgrades and public realm upgrades to Dodds Street. The permits triggers here are for minor demolitions in a heritage overlay and also changes to the road, including the conditions of the road and closure of much of the road. I think the end result's going to be fantastic. I would say that the City of Melbourne is the applicant. Of course, right now we're just assessing whether or not the application suits the planning scheme. I agree that it does. That's not a conflict of interest. I thank officers for assessing the application that we made against our planning scheme so diligently, and I think we can just refer all interested parties to the many debates we've had in the past about why this application is so important. Deputy Lord Mayor.
Well said, Chair. I think we've talked extensively about this fantastic project. Another step along the way in delivering the green spine for the arts precinct and much needed open space for South Bank residents, which is absolutely fantastic, and this Dodds Street component of the overall delivery of the project is absolutely no exception. New green open space, more planting, but absolutely that connection between the wonderful institutions that are calling this precinct home. So can't wait to get on with this part of the project. Obviously, we're well underway. In fact, sods are being turned on stages 1 to 3 of the project as we speak. Very happy to support.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. Any other contributions? No? I'll now put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. Thank you. I declare that carried unanimously. We can call Councillor Oak back, and I will ask the Lord Mayor, Sally Capp, to resume the role of Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Leppett. Well, this concludes the reports from management this evening. And it takes us to general business. And there is one item of general business to be considered this evening. 7.1, which is a notice of motion from Councillor Susan Riley. And it's a funding support request, Melbourne Entrepreneurship Gala. And I call on Councillor Riley to move the motion in respect
Lord
of this
Mayor, matter. Could I just ask a question, because it's not clear in the notice, but who's the host of this gala? Is it University of Melbourne? Because I need to know whether I need to leave the room again.
Yes, it is. Melbourne Acceleration Programme. So I
declare a conflict on item 7.1 because University of Melbourne is...
Thank you, Councillor.
It was nice to see you briefly.
It was nice to see you.
Briefly.
I so move the motion.
Thank you. I'm calling on Councillor Watts to second the motion. Done. Thank you. Would the mover like to speak to the motion?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Look, this is an opportunity for the City of Melbourne to bring some of our start-ups, which as we are ranking one of the world's top cities for business and start-ups, which is fantastic by a global consultancy that has brought us up to this speed. But from us, our point of view is that this Melbourne Entrepreneurship Gala gives us an opportunity to showcase events of Melbourne Accelerator Program. And it also gives us an opportunity to give some of our startups who have had engagement through the Council's community programs to be part of this. It is a real learning thing because some of the brightest young people come to this event, and their focus is on community and collaboration, which is what we are all about with startups. And I therefore put forward this motion for my councillors to accept.
Thank you. Would the seconder like to speak to the motion? Councillor Watts.
Thank you. Yes, I would. Obviously, as Chair of Knowledge City, I'm delighted to support this motion. But with one comment in all of this, let's remember that this particular Melbourne University map is not the only one in Melbourne. There are other accelerator programs which I would be just as happy to support as well as I support this one. So Melbourne, yes, is a very important city in relation to accelerator programs. This is an important one. So I'm sure those taking part in this, these young entrepreneurs who get out there and walk the talk, let's say, in relation to persuading those watching and those needing to understand what they're doing, it's an opportunity for exposure that is very important, and obviously the City of Melbourne supports it.
Thank you, Councillor Watts. Are there any other councillors who would like to speak to the motion? No? Then I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those councillors in favour, please raise your hand. And that's unanimous, so I declare the motion carried, and we can invite Councillor Oak back in for the second time this evening. Well, this concludes the items of general business for consideration this evening. Are there any items? It's now upon me just to check to see if there's any urgent business to be considered this evening. Are there any items of proposed urgent business to be raised, councillors? No. So then leads us to the 15 minutes of open session for questions from the public. And so I look to our members of the public who are still here this evening to see if anybody would like to ask a question. Shane Scanlon, please take the lectern.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. This question is a relayed question. It's arrived via SMS. The source will become apparent. The questioner asks what the reaction of the council and the CEO is to the news today that Collingwood, I'm assuming it's a football club, has divested itself of pokies.
As a councillor who was very, sorry if you don't mind, Lord Mayor, jumping in, but as a councillor who was very, I certainly encouraged us to consider our arrangement with them in light of our divestment policy around pokies and our interest in not investing in policies. So I welcome that our support, or our encouragement for them to remove themselves from pokies has maybe helped them make this decision.
I note that it's a trend that is growing across all of the football clubs and a welcome trend at that.
I'll throw one as well, because I think you might be channeling a former councillor here, Shane. So for former councillor Stephen Mayne's benefit, I applaud the move, recognise, as the Lord Mayor said, there is a move on in the AFL to divest. The one most wonderful club in the league, the Mighty Bombers, unfortunately are still invested in the pokie industry. So I hope that one day I'll be able to stand here as a proud Bomber, having won the Premiership and seen our club also follow the divestment process.
Once it goes from one scandal to another. Sorry, any other councillors would like to comment on the question from Shane Scanlon?
I actually believe that the Poker Alliance group is doing a magic job to be able to add this to their list of pokie venues that have left our city.
Was that texted through to you as well, Councillor Riley? No. Sorry, no implication there at all. Councillor Francis Gilley.
And as a fellow Essendon supporter, I'm now considering moving to Collingwood on the grounds that they haven't moved.
All right, we're getting out of control now, but I think Councillor Watts has formally actually indicated that she'd like to respond. So, Councillor Watts.
I would, having been to many of these the meetings of the Alliance for Gambling Reform. This is, of course, very pleasing. If only I could speak so enthusiastically about a reduction in poker machines more broadly in our city, namely with Crown Casino. But we're incrementally improving, and this is a good step, but we can all, can't we, Councillor Wood hope for more.
For the next
excellent
the next few hours, I'll text you your replies.
Shane, thank you for that. Are there any other questions from the public during this open session? Jeff, nothing else? Nope. All right. Well, thank you very much for your participation this evening. I particularly thank the public for making the time to be here. I'm also very grateful to our management team for their time in being here to respond to questions from councillors and public and participate in this important process. And to councillors, thank you. And I'm going to declare this meeting closed at 6:40 p.m. Thank you very much.